We know why we're getting a late start, just people practicing their constitutional rights, as Barney said. We're very happy to welcome you here to the Institute's current issues briefing, A New Afghanistan, Challenges of Governance and the Rule of Law. I'm Cheryl Brown. I'll be doing some preliminary remarks, and then I'll turn to Richard Solomon and do his remarks as the president of our organization who couldn't get a taxi cab. The Institute will be filming this session for later posting on our website. During the question and answer period, I'm going to ask that you line up over here and ask your questions so that we can get the taped question as well as the answer. We're also asking as a courtesy that you turn off your cell phones and beepers for each other's hearing and so forth. Now I'm going to turn into Richard Solomon, and I'm going to read his remarks. Please bear with me. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. I am Dick Solomon, President of the United States Institute of Peace. Today's briefing represents the Institute's continuing efforts to hold events on the Hill. We know that it is difficult, if not impossible, for members of Congress and staff to get meetings and briefings off the Hill. One purpose of holding regular Institute events here is to give you greater access to the Institute's work. Another is to respond to requests for briefings relying on Institute expertise and also in collaborations with other organizations, such as the New York University Center on International Cooperation, as Dr. Rubin represents, as well as the Embassy of Afghanistan, as the Ambassador represents, to bring timely and useful discussions to the Hill. Before moving to introductions, I want to express my personal thanks to Senator Harkin for his strong support of the Institute and for sponsoring today's event. Let me also express my gratitude to Senator Spector for his strong support of the Institute and for serving as a co-sponsor for today's event. I also want to thank Adrienne Hallett and Rosemary Gutierrez for their help in securing this room and, more importantly, for their interest and support of the Institute. I would also like to acknowledge the Security for a New Century and thank them for their help in getting the word out about this event on the Hill. They did a smashing job. Thank you. Today's focus is on the challenges that Afghanistan faces in its governance and rule of law. As we know, on January 4th, Afghanistan adopted a new constitution that lays the foundation for a system of democratic governance. Yet many questions remain as to how this democratic transformation will come about in Afghanistan. The briefing today will discuss Afghanistan's new constitution, as well as the challenges associated with its implementation and prospects for creating a functioning judiciary, police force, prison system, and other rule of law efforts. We are fortunate to have a stellar panel to discuss these questions. Afghanistan's ambassador to the United States, Syed Tayeb Jawad, will discuss the current status of the Constitution. His Excellency has served as the Chief of Staff of President Hamid Karzai, President's spokesman, Press Secretary, and the Director of the Office of International Relations at the Presidential Palace between March 2001 and September 2003. He has been closely involved with the process of drafting Afghanistan's new constitution and served as liaison between President Karzai and the Constitutional Commission. Our next speaker is Dr. Barnett Rubin, the Director of Studies at the Center for International Cooperation at New York University. He was previously with the Center for Preventive Action and Council on Foreign Relations. Dr. Rubin is considered to be one of the world's foremost experts on Afghanistan and the surrounding region, as well as on conflict prevention and peace building. Dr. Rubin is the author of several books on Afghanistan. He wrote one of them while he was a fellow at the U.S. Institute of Peace from 1989 to 1990, and he has been an active and welcome participant in the Institute's work ever since. I would like to personally thank the Ambassador and Dr. Rubin for joining the Institute today to discuss this topic. We will also hear from staff from the U.S. Institute of Peace who traveled to Kabul last fall and are the co-authors of a report on recommendations for Afghanistan's government. Ms. Laurel Miller is a program officer in the Rule of Law Program. Mr. Robert Perito is a program officer in the training program and author of a new book from USIP Press entitled Where's the Lone Ranger When We Need Him? America's Search for a Post-Conflict Stability Force. They will provide a summary of their report and their policy recommendations. As is clear from the makeup of this panel, the Institute's interest in Afghanistan is deep and longstanding. We have supported research and analysis on conflict there since the 1980s, both in times when Afghanistan was in the headlines and through many years when policymakers, unfortunately, were not focusing sufficiently on the problems of the Afghan people. The new American ambassador to Afghanistan, Zalmay Khalilzad, is a former member of our board of directors. As the President and Congress have joined in a commitment to restoring Afghanistan's peace and stability, the Institute is prepared to carry out its mandated role of assisting in post-conflict reconstruction and reconciliation. Today's event is the first in a series of panels we will be sponsoring on next steps in Afghanistan. On February 18, Ahmad Rashid will address the upcoming elections. We plan to hold an event at the Institute and here on the Hill. We ask that you save your questions until all of the speakers have made their presentations. We will leave ample time for your questions. Robert Prieto will act as moderator for today's important discussion. Thank you again for coming.
Thank you very much. I'm Bob Prieto, and I'll be the moderator for today's events. I'd like to begin by welcoming you all here. I'm sure that many of you in this room will share the thought with me that it is very refreshing to find an assemblage in Washington where you have a room full of people and the issue is something other than Iraq. So I'm looking forward to a very good discussion today. This is an extremely important topic. It's one that we're all extraordinarily interested in. Every one of you, I think, has a copy of the biography of all of our speakers this morning, so we'll hold the usual introductions. I'd like to say about Ambassador Jawad, however, that in looking over his extremely impressive resume, that he holds degrees from three countries, Afghanistan, Germany, and the United States, in law, politics, and business. He's served as a lawyer, he's been a businessman, he's been a diplomat, and he's been a distinguished representative of his government. For those of us who have difficulty, as you can hear, in speaking English, the ambassador speaks five different languages. So we'll invite you to take the podium, and it's a great honor to have you here with us this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Ambassador.
Good afternoon. Dr. Barnett Rubin, Mr. Robert Prieto, Ms. Laura Miller, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to thank the Institute, the United States Institute for Peace, for the special interest and continued support it has shown for Afghanistan. I'm honored to have this opportunity to talk about the most significant milestone achieved by our people on the path toward creating a democratic nation-state, our new constitution. 502 Afghans from all walks of life in every province and community of our country, such as nomads, Hindus, refugees, and internally displaced people, gathered together in the constitutional Loya Jirga. They put all tough issues on the table, and after many emotional speeches, adopted with anonymous acclamation our new constitution, which is the most progressive charter in the region. Ladies and gentlemen, a passage from the preamble of our new constitution sets the course for the direction my country has taken, and I quote, "We, the people of Afghanistan, for the establishment of a government based on democracy, civil society, free of oppression, atrocity, discrimination, and violence, and based upon rule of law, social justice, protection of human rights and dignity, and ensuring the fundamental rights and freedoms of people, have adopted this constitution. We have adopted, in fact, a balanced constitution that seeks and finds an equilibrium between building a strong central executive branch to strengthen national unity and rebuild the national institutions that were destroyed by foreign interference or factional fighting, and respecting the right of provinces to exercise more authority in managing their local affairs by institutionalizing district and province level councils. The new constitution balances a strong presidency and a parliament with extensive power of inquiry. It provides for a strong presidency and a two-chamber national assembly, which cannot be dissolved by the president. The new constitution is a careful combination of respect for moderate and traditional values of the Afghan society and adherence to the international norms of human rights and democracy. It appreciates our rich cultural, ethnic, and multilingual diversity. And for the first time in Afghanistan and the region, recognizes all major languages as official in areas where a majority speaks such languages. The new constitution has numerous unique and pioneering features in the areas of separation of powers, protection of individual rights, women rights, disabled rights, and environmental and intellectual property. And I'd like to discuss briefly some of these major issues. On the executive branch, the new constitution provides for a presidential system. The president is elected by direct majority vote. He or she serves for a period of 5 years with two vice presidents and is subject to a two-term limit. The president is the commander-in-chief of armed forces and appoints ministers, the attorney general, members of the Supreme Court, but only with the approval of the parliament. While the president enjoys great executive power, his or her authority is checked and balanced through oversight by the legislative and judicial branches. The Constitution provides for a clear impeachment process if the president commits crime against humanity, treason, or other crimes. On the legislative branch, the parliament or national assembly consists of two chambers, the Ulusijerga or the lower house, and the Mishranujerga or the upper house or senate. The 250 members of the lower house serve for 5 years and are elected in proportion to the population of each province. To ensure that 25% of the members are women, the Constitution requires that two female delegates be elected from each of the 32 provinces of the country. Such a high quota for women is rare in most countries, both Muslim and non-Muslim. The President appoints one-third of senators, 50% of which appointment must be women. On judicial branch, the Constitution creates an independent and able judicial branch and institutionalizes Afghanistan's civil law system. The Supreme Court is composed of 9 members who are appointed by the President for a period of 10 years. Members of the Supreme Court can be tried in a special court if they commit any crimes during the performance of their duties. The important issue of application of Islamic law. Since the civil law system is institutionalized in Afghanistan, the Hanafi jurisprudence will only be applied if there is no existing law that deals with the matter. In addition, courts are obligated to apply the Shia school of law in cases dealing with personal matters involving followers of Shia sect. Although 99% of Afghans are Muslim, the Constitution protects the freedom of followers of other religions in Article 2. Another pioneering feature of the new Constitution is that it prohibits formation of party based on ethnicity, language, and Islamic school of thought. On individual rights and liberties, the Constitution provides for equal rights and full participation of women. Article 22 of the Constitution states that citizens of Afghanistan, whether man or woman, have equal rights and duties before the law. The Constitution prohibits the amendment of the fundamental rights of the people unless done to make such rights more effective. The right of every person to an attorney is guaranteed. The state is obligated to appoint an attorney for destitute and ensure the immunity of attorney-client communications. The Constitution obligated the state to abide to the UN Charter and international treaties and conventions and to create a society based on social justice and protection of human dignity and human rights and realization of democracy in Article 6. The Constitution for the first time empowers the Afghan citizen with unlimited right to access information from the government. It obligates the state to prevent all type of terrorist activities in production and trafficking of narcotics and intoxicants. The Independent Human Rights Commission is further empowered and institutionalized by Article 58 of the Constitution. The Commission has the right to refer cases of human rights and fundamental rights violation to the judiciary and is empowered to assist in defending the rights of victims. The Constitution expressly protects the rights of disabled and handicapped. On investment in free market. Considering the fact that free market economy is a core value that's necessary for the political democracy to succeed, the Constitution includes specific provisions requiring the state to encourage and protect investment in private enterprises based on the market economy. Foreigners have the right to lease real property for investment. It recognizes and protects intellectual property rights, the rights of authors and inventors. This protection exists in a few countries. Ladies and gentlemen, the next milestone for our people is to capitalize on these achievements by implementing the new constitution and setting the stage for free and fair national elections. As the fine friend of Afghanistan, Mr. Lakhdar Brahimi, who played a very constructive role for the success of the Loya Jirga, has once said, our new achievements means that now we have even more to protect and more to lose. The challenges that we are facing are enormous, but generally of three interrelated categories. First, general challenges of building a state and providing for good governance by reforming, strengthening, and rebuilding national institutions to make them accountable, capable, and more representative. Improving local and district level governance and enhancing government capacity to deliver services to all corners of the country, especially areas prone to terrorist infiltration, to keep the population in our sight. Eliminating corruption and abuse of power, as well as cultivation and trafficking of narcotics, which goes hand in hand with terrorism and warlordism. Second, specific challenges of preparing the logistical and legal ground for the election and transition, including building the institutions and capacity to prepare and enact the enabling laws required under Article 157 of the new Constitution that provide for transitional measures. And third, security challenges posed by terrorists and other elements. These challenges include expediting the process of building our national army and professional police force, enhancing security in provinces by expanding the presence of the International Security Assistance Force and or provincial reconstruction teams to outside Kabul, achieving a complete victory over terrorists by denying them recruiting ground and preventing cross-border infiltrations, implementing the demobilization, disarmament, and reintegration program, which has not progressed well so far. Preventing extremists from hijacking democracy and state-building process for personal gain or factional agenda. In order to overcome these challenges and to make the state-building process in Afghanistan irreversible, Afghans need and demand the accelerated support and the sustained engagement by the United States of America and the international community. Afghans cherish the growing partnership and warm friendship forged between our two nations. We need further funding for training our national police force, especially female officers, and resources to reform the administration and the judicial system, train Afghan judges, lawyers, and prosecutors, fight corruption, and undertake public campaign to mobilize, empower, and educate the Afghan about their new rights. We are looking forward to creation of more U.S. and ISAF-led PRTs and deployment of more robust peacekeeping forces outside Kabul. We hope that NATO will be able to provide ISAF with more troops and resources. Our new constitution proves once again that the limited investment made by the United States of America and the international community to help Afghans rebuild their national and democratic institution has already yielded very impressive results. In 2 short years, the people of Afghanistan, with the partnership of the international community, turned a neglected and pariah country, overrun by Taliban and Al-Qaeda, into what President Karzai calls a center for cooperation of civilizations. Led by the vision of President Karzai, Afghanistan is emerging as a model. Afghanistan's successful advance on the path to democracy and state building will certainly impact upon the expectation and aspiration of people in other arenas of the global war against terrorism. A Muslim, tolerant, and democratic Afghanistan is indeed imparting the conclusive blow to the radicalism preached by Al-Qaeda. Our new constitution attacks the dogmas of antagonism and continuous conflict with the West held and professed by the terrorists at their very foundation. It proves that tradition and values of Islam can be compatible in mutually reinforcing with an open democracy. The Constitution is a significant achievement in our common fight against terrorism. By helping Afghanistan sustain this important milestone, the United States and other nations are helping provide the future blueprint for democracy in Muslim societies. Thank you very much.